Hi, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to Life Autistic. This is episode number 697. I spanked my kid's butt! I didn't like it. I didn't like having to do it. One of my children, who will remain nameless, although their siblings will certainly know who it is, I'm sure, has something of some control issues. Now, I know he's cuspy ADHD. I know he's got troubles that way that are kind of chemical, they're kind of built in. I know that. But even with Matthew, the one with diagnosed autism, he learned, and I don't mean at the edge of a belt or whip or something, we just made it very clear to him that there's some ways you behaved and some ways you didn't behave, and that these things were important. You know, this is not our world. You remember that whole thing? You know, you need to make their world as nice for them as they deserve. And they deserve it, you know. This is their world. It doesn't have much to do with us. But we don't take out, you know, we don't take out our frustrations on them. We don't make their life more difficult, which is exactly what my son did. At school, he was just being atrocious to his teacher. And I'm sorry, you know, everybody knows that I don't think schools are worth a whole lot, but that doesn't mean it's not worth a whole lot to me. It may not be worth a whole lot to people like me, but one has to at least respect the fact that there are people there trying to do their job, trying to teach kids, and when you're stirring things up, when you're trying to make life difficult for them, I'm sorry, I don't care how you feel about school. I don't care about any of that stuff. I don't care where you fall in the philosophical or political spectrum. When it comes to such things, it doesn't matter. You can keep your attitude to yourself when, you know, in that forum. You just do that. Anyway, so he was making, I mean, a lot of trouble for the teacher. He was telling him to sit down. He wouldn't sit down. You know, then he stood on his chair. Then he did this, and then he did that. And I mean, in a rapid succession. I mean, it wasn't like all day long and finally hit his button. I mean, he was stomping on the man's button. Just decided he wasn't going to listen. He wasn't going to be obedient. And he wasn't going to do what he was told to do. And you go, that's their school. That's their, the place where they work, where they earn their living, where they have to get by day to day, provide for their family. You may not agree with it. I certainly don't. But that's not the issue here. And one does not stand up in school and make a political statement. You don't do that. You can make a political statement at home. You can make it out in the public forum that it's not school. But you will not disrupt school to make your point. That's what I'm trying to say. So, he did that. I of course, am traveling now. I'm going to Raton. It's going to take me about 4 hours. I start at 4 o'clock, which means I'm going to get there at about 8. Or later, depending on how circumstances are. I would imagine if it's going to be after dark, they're going to have the gates shut, and I might as well just find a place in town. But I'm going to try. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to try and see if I can find a place to stay the night, because I'd just as soon just pay the $10 and be happy. Pardon me. Anyway, so I found out about after the teacher had taken Sam to the office and they had called home to say this is what had happened with Sam. And I mean, I got it when I was trying to get all packed up to leave, to go to work, go on about my business. And so I was pretty, the easy thing to say was I was a little bit upset. Well, I won't even say that. I don't think I was really upset. It was kind of annoying that this came up. It seemed like the perfect time for it to be coming up. You know, Lisa was even saying, oh, and you're leaving too. You know, I'm going to have to handle this. And I said, oh, man. So I started thinking about it. I think I was being prayerful. I didn't offer up a formal prayer, but I was certainly saying, Father, please help me know what to do. And so I went home and I said, you know what? I need to handle this. I need to handle it right now. As time passes, Sam will know that he can get away with stuff, that he can just do that, and he's not going to get anything for it. So I came home. I went and I checked Sam out of school. I took him down a dirt road far enough away from town so that, you know, far enough away from any kind of civilization at all that nobody would hear if he started screaming. I took off my belt and I spanked him with a belt 8 times. The standing rule. I don't know how many people this is a rule for, but saying rule, at least for me, one that I heard once and decided was a pretty good idea, is that you should only spank them once per year. Actually, child care, it was you only, I forget what the rules is. Oh, it's how many minutes you're allowed to be in timeout. It would be 8 minutes in timeout, so for an 8-year-old, which I think is a little low. I think that works okay with preschoolers, but, you know, after that, if you're still having to put kids in timeout all the time, you know, you need to come up with something a little more attention-getting. And I guess that's what I was doing. Oop, did I say his name? I probably said his name. Sorry. With my son. I felt the need to get his attention. He's very quick to say he's sorry. He's very quick to do that if he feels like it will get him out of being punished. And I think I established the rule that says, no, when you do something like this, something that's just rude and makes the whole family look bad in public, besmirches us being associated with you, that justifies what happened. So I went out and I spanked his bottom 3 times with a belt. Was it hard? Yes. First three hits he was laughing. The fourth he went, ow. The fifth he said, ow again. The sixth he went, ah! And he shoved his hand behind his, you know, back there to try to cover up his rear. And I said, and like I usually say when I do these things, which I don't do it very often, I certainly don't ever do it with a belt. I typically do it with my hand, and then not very hard. This was much harder, because I figured it was a much more egregious mistake. Not mistake, a much more egregious error of judgment on his part, that he could get away with this. Because he was testing the limits. He was testing the limits of what he could get away with. Making life miserable for his teacher and what his teacher would do. And it's like, you don't do that. That's not the purpose. Even for a Zenith, who can feel a little bit separated from the world, or feel a little bit downtrodden, or feel like that things aren't fair. I don't want to hear the word fair. You know, feels like, you know, they're above all this, perhaps, or at least separate from it so it doesn't affect them. I'm sorry. That never justifies making somebody else's life miserable with your problems. It's not that that's you just don't do that. You don't do that. Our job is to make people's, to make life easier for people, to make it work better for them. By golly, I work on computers so that people can continue to have what they want in the way of computers. They can get their work done so they can do all those things. Works right part and parcel, hand in hand with the whole Zenith idea. So after we were done, you know, then came the time, which it says in the scriptures, in the Doctrine and Covenants, that we must do. I think it's in section 121. Maybe. I'm not real sure. Anyway. About rebuilding the kindness of our relationship. I think I did that. I tried. But I also warned him. I said, if we have to do this again, Sam, because you can't control yourself, I said, I'll spank you twice as many times. And then something just came to mind. I don't know if it was inspiration or what. But I said, oh, Sam, I'm sorry. I've got to tell you this. I said, if you disrespect your mother, if you don't do your best to make her grateful for having you as a son, if you make her life difficult beyond what could be expected from Sam and his, you know, I mean, he's got to be home. He's got to let loose a little bit at home because it's the only place that will tolerate that. Certainly can't do it in public. I won't tolerate that. Certainly not at school. Anyway, all those things, I said, you know, if you do that, you'll get four times as many. And I even gave the number. I said, the number is 36. The 8 times 4, is that 36? I think it's 32. Uh-oh. 8 times 4, maybe 32. I don't know. Anyway, I'll have to count to 8 4 times to make sure I do it right. God. I can't get my basic multiplication pulled together today. Anyway, so he'd get it 4 times because I've grown very weary because Elise's even complained quite a bit about the fact that Sam's so disrespectful to her. And I go, you know, since we've gotten to the point where we have to start spanking for going over a line, we need to paint that line pretty clearly, you know. And we step over that line, what's going to happen? Because if you disrespect your mother, says you don't disrespect your mother. Says you can disrespect me. I says now I'll still, you know. The belt still comes out when you disrespect me. I said, but I'll probably only swat you, you know, 8 or 16 times for disrespecting me. I said, but by golly, if you disrespect your mother, you're going to get it a lot more. Just so he knows. Just so he knows her standing. And the way you treat your mom. That's what it is. I have to remember to call Lisa and tell her that tonight. Make sure she knows what all went down. Anyway. So, interesting day. Oh boy, now I'm not, I didn't proceed to do this with any kind of glee. I was not looking forward to it. I don't like to be confrontational, and that's what this was going to be. It ended up not being terribly so much so. Once Sam was resigned to the fact that it really was going to happen, he wasn't going to be able to talk me out of it, you know. It just got to it, you know. He went to the back of the car, he put his hands on the trunk, and we commenced to spanking him. No words were spoken. You know, this was just something that had to happen, given the circumstance. I hope to be able to do that in the future. Because you don't want to do it in anger. I was angry before. But by the time we got out there, everything was okay. Or it just needed to be done. It had to be done. And I explained it to him before it happened, so he knew what was going to happen. Hopefully I never have to do it again. I will tell a story of the one time I got spanked with an implement, or at least the one time I remember. And I was older. I think I was like 14, I think. I was always a straight-A student. And I don't know why, but for some reason, I chose to lie to my parents about the fact that there was a parent-teacher conference coming up. Because I didn't want them to go. I was embarrassed. I felt like something bad would happen. See, and maybe there's something I can't remember. Frankly, I don't actually remember the actual incidents of me getting spanked. I just remember that it was going to happen because I lied. Lying is a big problem for us. We don't like lying at all. We respect very much telling the truth. So anyway, they of course missed my parent-teacher conference because I told them it wasn't happening. My brother's was happening. It may have slipped by if the school would have had parent-teacher conferences on different days for different grades. I might have slipped past. Well, I don't know. No, it's not happening tonight. And I knew it was. Because they were going to my brother's parent-teacher conference. Anyway. And so my dad said, I'm going to, well, I don't know if he said spank. I think he said beat. I'm going to beat you with a boat oar. And he did. One of his friends had a boat oar. Well, not a boat, a paddle. I think it was a boat paddle, like a canoe paddle. And he said that was what the punishment was going to be. And he was crying worse than I was after it was done, as I recall. Vaguely. But I don't remember really the beating. I do remember how disappointed my dad was, and I didn't want him to be disappointed again. And I tried to do that with my kids, you know. If I'm disappointed, I try to let them know that I'm disappointed. And for most of my kids, that's as far as you need to go, because they don't want to disappoint, you know. Kids, by and large, don't want to disappoint their parents. And that typically worked. I think it worked with most of my kids. Matt, I don't know if he ever got the concept of disappointment. But we had other ways. And Matt was actually pretty good-natured. He's a pretty good-natured guy. He gets upset and angry, but half the time it's because he just doesn't understand or because he feels like you're not listening to him or something like that. So you can give him a pretty wide break because it's typically not just to be obnoxious. He's not trying to make your life miserable. He's indicating to you that he's having a tough time, which he's allowed to do at home. You know? Home is supposed to be the place where you can be as much like yourself as possible. It's just Sam took it too far. Oh, dang. Okay, well, there it is. Anyway, wasn't supposed to say his name. Screwed up. Sorry. If he's much older by the time you listen to this, don't give the kid a break because he's gonna do better. I have faith he's gonna do better. If this one, you know, convinces him not to do those things, or if it takes three or four more renditions of it with increasing amounts of blistered bottom included to make it happen. It'll happen. So if he's older and you meet him on the street, don't rub it in. He will be doing much better by then, you know, so be nice. It was not a public punishment. It was not public discipline. It was very private, even from the rest of the family. Sam can bring it up with other people if he wants to. I don't want you to. Don't send social services over. If you think all spanking is abusive, you obviously either A, don't have children. I find the people who are most against disciplining children in a physical way, sometimes strenuously so, to get their attention, to help them know there's some things that cannot happen. See, I want to do something like this before it's the issue of the real sweet, kind-hearted grandma whose kid is whose grandkid that they're trying to raise is totally out of control, and the kid ends up in reform school in New Mexico. It's called Springer because that's the town. It's located outside of the Springer Juvenile Detention Center, I guess. I don't know what it's really called, but it's in Springer, so everybody just calls it Springer. Before that kid ends up just going to Springer, and that's it, you know, there's basically the answer, is the kid's going to Springer. I want to prevent that, because that can be real psychologically damaging forever. Better to have it handled privately, quietly, but very, very pointedly, so that they know. You know, not a slap on the wrist. Good, hard wax on the bottom. Let them feel some pain so that they know that, you know, if they continue down this course, more pain will follow. I'm sorry. I was on the whole thing of people who are really opposed to spanking, just categorically against spanking. I'm not categorically against it, but I don't tend to use it much at all. You can ask my kids how many times I spank them, and they'll say, well, with the exception of Sam, at this point in his life, you know, they'll say, I don't think my father's ever spanked me. Or if they did, if they say, it's so rare I can't remember it, because I can't. I so rarely do it. At least physically can't do it. So I handle the more, you know, physical discipline. Lisa handles the more emotional, psychological discipline, I suppose. I don't know if I like that. Frankly, I you know, like most men, I think I prefer a beating, for instance. And what I did was a beating. I don't know what else to call it. A spanking. A paddling. But it really wasn't. It was more of taking a... It was taking a strap to his backside. It was more of a whipping. Oh, there you go. It's a whipping. I'm going to whip you with a belt. There you go. That's the right term. I've never used anything besides my hand before. This is the first time I've ever used anything but that. But I have spanked Sam with my hand... on occasion, not very often. I don't intend on doing this one again unless something like this happens again. But, okay, so, you know, people who are categorically against whipping or spanking a child, either number one, don't have children, or number two, have children that either A, don't require it, or have B, children who are running amok and run their families and the parents just kind of are getting by and those kids will end up in reform school. You know, the system will have to punish them ultimately because their parents never chose to. And I'm not in favor of that. I don't like confrontational things. I don't do this stuff lightly, nor do I do it with any kind of vindictive joy or anything like that. You know, breaks my heart to have to go to this kind of measure. Breaks my heart that I have a child that requires this. But having a child that seems to require this at least once, I hope only once, it just needs to be done. It's just the whole point of being able to do difficult things when difficult things need to be done. Too many people, too many soft-hearted, yet very in your face, I would never do that, because I'm a better person than you are type of people. They don't do hard things. When hard things need to be done, they avoid it and often rationalize it. And that, you know, and I'm not saying that I'm totally free of that business. You know, I am just as much a product of this society, kind of milquetoasty, you know, we want to give plenty of justifications for why hard things never need to happen. People think that's weird because I think the war in Iraq is stupid. I don't think we should never fight wars. I'm not that. I am not a peacenik. I am not like that. I have no problem, you know, going to war if it's justified. I feel like the war in Iraq was contrived and conceived for no reason. What we did in Afghanistan, I think the original idea of going into Afghanistan maybe would have been a good idea, but I was all for sending assassins. Not necessarily to kill him, but to extract him from country. You know, not to go stomping in and take over an entire government that we said, well, they're harboring terrorists, and you go, you know, so we need to smash their government. I think that was a bad idea. I think it's up to the people in that country to decide what kind of government they have. And if you say, oh, well, they have a dictatorship, so we need to go and send our troops in there. You go, you know what? I don't want to send, you know, I have a Zionist attitude about it, which is you don't make other people suffer for your inaction. You don't make other, you know, if there's anything that needs to be done, you need to do it. You don't need to assign somebody else the task of doing it. I think too many very prissy, very kind-hearted people are all too ready to use the military to do their dirty work. I don't like to see the little children suffering. That was how a lot of prissies decided to support going into like Afghanistan and going after Osama bin Laden. It was for the children. And you go, if it's for the children, why don't you go? Why don't you go and do it since you're so supportive? I didn't support any of it from the beginning except to say this is basically a police thing. We are going and we are going to get somebody who committed atrocities on American soil. That was my take on it. Talk to the Afghani government and the Pakistani government where they were kind of hiding in the kind of the nether region between them and say, we want this man. Are you willing to go and get him so that we can have him? And when they said no, which they ultimately did, then we go in, surgical, go through, hunt the guy down out of the things like a dog. If they're not going to help us, then they obviously don't care. But if they have a problem with us coming in and doing what they should be doing, then that's a whole other issue. You know, we will go in, we will do what we do, we will defend ourselves if it ends up being the Taliban army coming after us because they feel like they can defend their territory. You go, no, we're going to go in, we're going to get the guy we need, and then we can, and then we're going to leave you in peace. But you're not going to harbor these guys. The whole way we did it was wrong. You know, we should have gone in there. I don't know if it needed to be covertly, but we weren't going in there to defend, you know, to attack anybody, to punish civilians for the fact that their government was not going to help us track down these guys who had blown up buildings in the United States. I think all the wars that we've been involved, I think all the wars we've been involved with since the Civil War, to a lesser degree, World War I and World War II, which we should have kicked our little butts out of. World War II, I guess we had some justification for what we were doing. You know, we were actually inciting our presence in World War II. We felt like the South Pacific should belong to us. And when the Japanese started walking all over it, we decided to go in and take over. You know, and I'm a firm believer that says we have boundaries for a reason. The boundaries aren't to keep evil out, it's to keep us from doing atrocities outside of it. Our jurisdiction ends. The sheriff sees that line and he can't cross that line because his jurisdiction ends. The jurisdiction of the United States government and the army that we can call up ends at our borders. If we aren't, you know, repelling some invasion, we shouldn't even have an army. That's in the Constitution. We should have no standing army. But yet we do. Why? I don't know. You know, if you need to have a few people to keep up a War Department, if you need a handful of professional soldier leaders, that's fine, but that's not having a standing army. That's having a leadership corps. And then calling up other people, you know, calling up the actual troops that go in and start firing and shooting at everybody. You do that later. Anyway, so. I don't want to hear it from people who say, oh, you should never spank. Never, 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 never. Because it is. It's like you don't have children. You had children that didn't require spanking, and that's wonderful. 4.5 of my children didn't require spanking. And I hope there's very little of it. I hope what little I do gets the point across. That there are some things that you just don't do. I don't care how you feel. I don't care if you're feeling really lousy that day, you don't cross that line. My son crossed it. Therefore, it happened. And every time he crosses again, it'll happen again. If it happens more, if it seems to be a trend, then it will be applied more strenuously until he decides that it's not worth his while to be rude and obnoxious to people who he has no right to be rude or obnoxious to. I don't think anybody deserves being treated rudely or obnoxiously. Unless they're, you know, government tyrants. Then I think you can treat them as rudely and obnoxiously as you like. I'm sorry. Kind of my anti-state thing coming out. State is too much of a dodge for evil. And I'm not going to support it. I will be obedient because I'm constrained by God to be obedient. says, but that doesn't mean I have to do what they say. You know, I have to keep their laws. But if they say, you're going to do this, and you go, I'm not, no, you can ask, and I can say no. You can pass a law that forces me to do something, and I'll do it. But you can't just come up to me and say, I want you to do this, and I'm going to put the squeeze on you, and you're going to do it. I said, no, you're not going to do that. Says, now you can. You've got a gun, and I don't. I don't carry a gun. I don't have a gun. I don't intend on getting a gun particularly. At some point, I may change my mind. I do know how to operate a firearm. I did use firearms as a younger person, as a teenager. We had guns. Guns, I think, that were sufficient for self-defense, for personal protection. I am not a hunter, so I do not have guns about the house. I have various children with various neurological and mental issues, which I think preclude my family from needing to have guns. Having a gun around would be, I think, dangerous to ourselves and to others, and that we're not going to do that until I feel a need that trumps that whole thing. But I'm also not going to listen to peaceniks who think that all the world is love. You know, sometimes you have to fight. Sometimes you've got to discipline physically. I don't use it on a regular basis. I don't intend to. It takes a lot to get me to that point. Sam is acting up for weeks and weeks and weeks. Being disrespectful to everybody. Flailing his fist at everybody as if to intimidate. And so it needed to be handled. It finally got to the point where it's, excuse me, you don't do this. And we'll eventually establish even more so, if we need to, more delineated times when this is going to happen. So that's what needs to happen. It doesn't change how I feel about school. That school is for other people, for other circumstances that don't necessarily apply to me. I use school for some things. The education that my children get there, I can take it or leave it. Certainly not impressed by it. And that's not to speak anything poorly about the teachers or anything like that. It's the whole institution, like I said before. The whole circumstance. But it doesn't take away from the fact that locals often need school. Celestials need reform schools. Need kind of a harsh, unbending sort of an environment to keep them from just going mad, from just killing everybody in sight. That's kind of the way it is. Anyway, so I've said enough on that subject. I think I'm all right. Okay, this is Jay Nebro. You're listening to episode number 697 of The Life Autistic. If you want to contact me, feel free. The email address is autism, AUTISM, at Qix, QUIX, .US. And let me make sure my pointer's here. Where is the silly thing? Where'd it go? Always wandering off to some corner. This is Jay Nebro. Have a great day.